Well, hey, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Paul Pretty, so thankful that you're here, and I'm the teaching pastor at our Marion campus, a campus that hasn't yet launched, but that we're working on, and God is doing incredible things to make that a reality. Well, this Tuesday, we're going to get back into talking through some of my personal devotional content as I bring that to you and discuss that. And right now, I've been reading through the Old Testament for quite a while now, and I'm in the book of Amos. And Amos is one of the prophets within the section of the Bible that we call the minor prophets. And when we say minor prophets, it's not that their words are minor in terms of significance or importance, or that they're less than the Word of God. They are absolutely the Word of God, but the length of these books is shorter than, say, the book of Isaiah. And so that's why we call these the minor prophets. And Amos is very much a book of judgment against Israel, against Judah to a degree, and against the surrounding nations, but primarily to the nation of Israel. And so a little bit of history, I think, is important as we go into this. And I got this history from my study Bible. I'm not a biblical historian. Again, I've said it before, but I would absolutely recommend you get a study Bible, because it's just so helpful as you read to be able to understand the context and what's happening, what's going on. So this book was written, as scholars and historians think, about 760 BC. And at this particular time in the nation of Israel's history, there were two primary kingdoms, and there's a lot of history that goes into this, but there's the southern kingdom of Judah and the northern kingdom of Israel, and both are sort of the overall nation of Israel to a sense, but they're sort of a separation there, if that makes sense. And so what we see here is that both Judah and Israel at this time was relatively prosperous for whatever reason. There was stability to a degree in a from a form of government. There was wealth, there was prosperity, and particularly those things were true of the northern kingdom of Israel. And so what we know, what scholars and historians would know, is that the northern kingdom took this stability and prosperity as an indicator that God viewed them favorably, that they were in a good spot or good standing with God, if you will. And as this book begins, Amos begins with these proclamations of judgment against the surrounding nations, and just before judgment against Israel, judgment against Judah. And so as the book opens in these first couple of chapters, the original hearers, particularly Israel, as they heard this, they would have been saying, yes, absolutely, those other nations, they deserve judgment for their sinfulness, for their idolatry, for their worship of false gods. They deserve judgment, but because we are prosperous, because we're wealthy, because we're comfortable, we are in a favorable position. And what we see as we flip the pages, and particularly as we get into chapter 2, that is just not true. Israel is in a really, really bad place spiritually, in a bad place in their walk with the Lord. And so in chapters 1 and 2, as God pronounces these judgment through Amos to Gaza, to Tyre, to Edom, to the Ammonites, to Moab, they're like two to three, maybe four verses of judgment. Well, when we get into chapter 2, beginning in verse 4, it begins pages of judgment and chapters of judgment directed toward Israel. And the reason primarily, there's a lot of things that go into this, into idolatry, into sexual immorality that was going on in Israel at the time. But there's a particular couple of verses that I think are significant and important for us. If you get into chapter 5, what Amos says is, beginning in verse 11, again, God speaking through Amos, "Therefore, because you trample on the poor and you exact taxes of grain from him, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine, for I know how many are your transgressions, and how great are your sins, and how you afflict the righteous who take a bribe and turn aside the needy in the gate. Therefore, he who is prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time." So there are two particular things that God points out there. He says, because you do this, this is going to happen. And the because you do this is you trample on the poor. Right, you trample on the poor. You keep out the needy. You've been blessed to be a blessing, essentially, and you're not being a blessing to the people that you should be a blessing to. You've been made to be image bearers of God. You've been chosen as God's people. I've given you all of this blessing, and you're turning around and you're taking advantage of people. And so that is detestable to God in this. And I think there's something really good in here for us. We live in a time and a situation and a place where when it comes to the rest of the world, we are extremely blessed financially, circumstantially, oftentimes in terms of the houses and the possessions we have. And those can be a real danger. It's not that they're bad inherently, but the blessings that we've been given, if we're not using those blessings as an opportunity to be a blessing to others, well, that might reveal a heart issue that we need to address. And again, it's not that it's bad if we have houses and cars and all of those things. By no means is that a bad thing. But at the same time, we need to look around us to say, are we caring for the needy? Are we serving those who are less fortunate than we are? Not out of a look at us, look how good we are, but out of an opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and as an opportunity to be image bearers of God and to point people to Jesus. And one of the practical ways that this works out is through the context of our life groups and the relationships that we have in our Serve the City partnerships. We at LifePoint, you might notice that we don't have our own food pantry. You know, we don't have our own clothing or type of store or anything like that. And it's not that those things are bad, they're great. But what we've recognized is that there are other people doing those resources and doing a phenomenal job. And God has blessed us with people and resources, and we have the opportunity to partner with those ministries, to serve them, to have a steady supply of volunteers in a sense. And that is just one very tangible way that we can serve those who are in need, that we can take the blessings that we've been given and we can help give them to others. And so practically speaking, the way that this works out is if you're not yet plugged into a life group, get plugged into a life group, because every term your life group should be serving and meaningfully connected with a local ministry. And the way that you step into that is, you know, you organize a day to serve and you all show up and serve. And that's just the bare minimum. You can serve on your own, right? Or you can invite another member of your life group to go serve with you. But as God's people, we should be serving others. And again, the way that we do that primarily within the body of the church is through the context of life groups and through serving the ministries that are around us, who are serving those in our community who are in need. But again, you're certainly not limited to that. Do you know the needs of your neighbors? Do you have a personal relationship with your neighbors? Maybe step one is for you to say, okay, do I know my neighbor's names? And if I don't, I need to learn those names. And then over time, maybe you can establish a relationship where if there is a need, you can begin meeting that need. And again, being the hands and feet of Jesus and pointing people to Christ. And so that's just what was on my heart as I read this. And so I wanted to bring that to you. And I want to lead us into a time of prayer that God would open our eyes to the needs of those around us and would allow us to meet those needs in a good and healthy way. And that Jesus would be glorified through that. So let's pray. I'll kick us off, and then I want you to pray as well. Now, Father, thank you that you have given us so many incredible blessings, namely and most importantly, God, you've given us yourself in the person of Jesus. Father, I pray that we would never neglect those blessings. And when it comes to some of the worldly blessings that we have, that we would share those, that we would see those who are in need around us, and we would seek opportunities and ways to help those who are in need and in healthy ways. Father, that we would connect with local ministries doing incredible work. Father, that through our life groups, we would be passionate about serving those who are in need and serving our communities. Father, would you stir that in us, and would you give us the ability to help, to serve well, and through that you would be glorified, Jesus, and that people would come to know and love you. God, we need you to do that. Do it in us and through us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.